All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Sandy Williams, and also on the other line, Dave from Mequon. Dave, I'm going to let you respond to Sandy quickly.
All right. Thank you, Earl. Yes, there's no question the sanctions are having an effect on the average Russian over there. But as far as affecting Putin himself, it's not bothering him in the least because, you know, he's still getting his oil money. They just announced February 4th, according to Reuters, a 30-year deal. It's sending a ginormous amount of natural gas pipeline to China over 30 years. They just made an agreement. The other thing is, again, I don't understand to Sandy's point that, again, that Russia and China are acting on our behalf with this whole potentially new nuclear deal when Iran was not following the original Iran nuclear deal. As you know, the U.S. inspectors weren't even allowed to go in there. They were kicked out, and they kicked out the European inspectors. And the centrifuges that they have are very close to making are way over and above what was agreed to initially. So I'm not sure why we would trust Iran at this point and why we keep pushing the fact just to make a deal. To make a deal is beyond me because they haven't even followed what they originally were going to. So that's why Trump pulled them out to begin with, because they weren't even following the original deal. That being the case, I look at it twofold. China and Russia are working, they're coordinating together. You may not agree with that, Sandy, but at the end of the day, you looked at what happened before the Olympics. They were shaking hands. They have been doing our intelligence. We had mentioned to China, it was according to the New York Times, about what was going on with Russia. Chinese leaked that right immediately over to Russia. There's no question that there is a new axis of evil that wants to see a geopolitical outcome where it favors both China and Russia and where everybody else is kind of under the thumb of a new world order.
You know what? You just used that term, axis of evil.
Germany and Japan all over again.
Guys like you just don't understand. By making statements like that, those two nations are looking at our nation. And listen, man, you know, we've got plenty skeletons in our closet, Dave, that those nations look at us and see what we've done and say, how dare the United States say those things about our country when we know their history.
Well, let's go to something a little more philosophical. Let's just take for granted that they are the axis of evil and they're trying to accomplish something evil. Tell me, Dave, what they're trying to accomplish. What is their evil? What is the evil outcome that Russia and China are together going to formulate their and use their strength to accomplish? And how does it relate to the U.S. interest? Are they trying to accomplish an economic superiority to us? That's called competition.
Everything. I mean, if you look at what Russia and China are doing,
Dave, let's not obfuscate. List for me with bullet points. Give me 5, 4, 3. I don't care how many. Give me the things that Russia and China together want to accomplish. When they form their axis of evil, what will be the very things that they will accomplish?
To be the ultimate military power, that's number one. To be the ultimate
Wait, just a minute. So what you're saying, Dave, is they want to supplant the United States as the ultimate military power. So they want to create in their axis of evil together, they're trying to create something that is possibly as formidable militarily as the United States. Okay, that's number one. Now let's go to number two.
Number two would be energy. They want to take over the world's energy supply.
What? No, whoa, wait a minute. So you think that Russia and China together are going to march into Saudi Arabia and take over control of the energy supply?
No, what they're doing,
they're trying to secure... whoa, just a minute. And they're going to try and secure the contractual royalty arrangements that the United States has right now for a massive amount of the world's oil supply. And you're saying that Russia and China invidiously, you know, U.S. didn't do this invidiously. We just accomplished it commercially. And somehow the Russia and China invidiously in an evil manner are going to try and access oil supplies that rival the size of the oil supplies that the United States has. Because incidentally, Russia already has the third largest world reserves of oil, so they control a lot of oil.
I understand that. But if you look at what China and Russia are doing with the minerals for the new electric energy, and they're basically, China alone controls 85% of the rare minerals to make the new green energy going forward.
What did they accomplish then? Did they accomplish that evilly, or did they just happen to live on land that ultimately had lithium and various molybdenum and the various rare minerals that aligned with Mongolia, for instance? That wasn't accomplished evilly, and that's not their evil objective. Is their evil objective to keep us from accessing it?
So you agree to child slave labor that they're doing in Africa right now? You have kids as young as five and six years old digging the minerals in the mines over there. Whoa, Dave,
now we're in Africa with child labor. Is either Russia or China doing the child labor in Africa?
Yes, they're the ones who have been hiring. And if you look what Putin is doing, he's hiring mercenaries. He is hiring mercenaries
do the mercenaries work for Blackwater? Because incidentally, the United States military is now, the military presence we have in countries is something like 20% mercenaries.
So let me ask you, so you think it's okay that Putin has hired 40,000 Syrian mercenaries and along with the Wagner Group out of Africa, but you think that's a good thing?
Dave, you deviated from what you initially... talked about.
All right. So you were talking about Russia and China and the military axis.
Now you're talking about Russia going out and finding allies, maybe hiring allies. I think we've done that. Yes, I think we have done that in various situations. Now, is it bad to hire like the Wagner Group is a notorious group. So, okay. But we've frequently in wars, for instance, the Korean military is known as a take-no-prisoner military. And during the Vietnam War, we would send the Koreans in when we wanted to make sure there were no prisoners taken. Were we complicit?
You know, at the end of the day, war is ugly. And what I'm trying to, and what I've made an argument with Earl all these years, is that there is no question in my mind that war obviously is a big business, as we know. A lot of people come out very wealthy by going to war, especially dictators. And at the end of the day, what we're looking at, the fact that Russia just used a new weapon that's never been used before, they used a hypersonic missile over the weekend to target an ammunition plant, and who knows what the next step is. At the end of the day, Putin does not have the interests of the Russian people in mind. It's about himself. You deviated from
the evil axis, you know, and that's the fear. It's when Americans make statements like you just made and not be able to back it up. And wherever you got it from, you know, you really could not back it up.
Well, and so How am I not backing up? She wants to be president until he's dead. He just changed the rules. He wants to go back.
That's not an evil axis. Does Prince bin Salman of Saudi Arabia want to be ruler until he can't rule anymore? Yeah, absolutely. We don't favor autocracies and dictatorships, but we certainly tolerate them. And so is that grounds for... I don't know what it's grounds for, but the United States has certainly not been consistent in how it treats dictators. We treated Francisco Franco quite gingerly and in a friendly fashion for his entire reign. I I'm only troubled by the notion that we have a knee-jerk reaction back to a theory of good guys and bad guys that paints a picture like an evil axis, that China is necessarily an evil country, and that so is, and so is Russia, and that their motives, and that we aren't possibly part of the problem by creating an environment in which two nations like Russia and China feel compelled to form a union so that they can negotiate with the United States on an even footing. If the United States view is that no countries are entitled to join together with one another in such a fashion that they can square off against the United States in a negotiation, what does that sound like? That sounds like a theory of world domination that we might enjoy, but the rest of the world might not. They might not.
Apparently,
enjoy.
We haven't learned.
And one of the things that the European Union did accomplish was to create a substantial and formidable negotiating partner with the United States for commerce. And while I'm not sure we exactly favored it, we have subsequently found that it is quite useful to be able to negotiate with a large party like that and get things accomplished.
Hey, Dave, man, thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. We'll be right back.